Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Glad y'all are here this morning. Glad you're watching from home. Y'all, I just want to tell you, does it feel a little bit different this Sunday than last Sunday in here? Nobody notices. You know, one of the things Wednesday night, I meet with college students, and so the average age there is about 20. And on Friday, I meet with my men's group. The average age is about, Loa, what would you say our average age is? About 20. Anyway, so, but you know what? In both places, one of the things that we talked about this week was that, you know, there are a lot of us in our city who, and we see this on Easter a lot of times. There's a lot of people that have an idea of God, but not a relationship with God. You know, there's a book that was written a few years ago called Christian Atheists, and that is, you know, everybody believes in God, but that God that they believe in doesn't make a darn bit of difference in their lives. And so that's just what one of the things, as we're talking about these next 6 weeks, what it means to be a neighbor. We believe that if we get this right, this neighbor thing right, we possibly, by the grace of God, the move of God in our city, might actually begin to see a difference. Basically, when all my life in ministry, it's like, if you build it, they will come. You know, if you feed them, they will come. And it's this whole idea like, we're just trying to get people in the building. But y'all, what if church really wasn't about getting people in here? What about if it's getting us beyond here? And so anyway, I hope that's kind of one of the things that we get. And so, by the way, I'll just say today, I'm not bragging or anything, but today will be one of the best sermons you've heard here in this church in a long, long time. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Today, let him meet with you. Let him be at work in you. Lord Jesus, I thank you and praise you that, Lord, it's holy ground because you are here. And Lord, as we leave today, it's going to be holy ground where we go because you will be there too. Lord, thank you that the tomb is empty so that our hearts, our lives can be full of you, full of your Spirit. May we be your worshipers this morning, those that worship you in spirit and in truth, those that are open to you and experience your leadership, your presence, your purpose in our lives. Come, Lord Jesus, have your way with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, this morning, our Missions Minute is all about VBS, and I think we have 7 weeks. If that doesn't scare Delita to death, I don't know what will. But anyway, seven weeks from now, this sanctuary will be filled with kids. 400-plus, I think we had last year in VBS. And y'all, we do VBS because Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. And we believe that what happens here is what God wants to happen here. First, that's that kids have this safe, encouraging place to come together and be loved by our leaders and by one another, but also that they come to know and they come to have a relationship, a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And so you can help. This isn't going to happen without you. Let me just say that just up front. It's going to happen because you give. It's going to happen because you pray. You pray that God does what only God can do in the life of these kids. And then three, you serve. And so DeLee will gladly take volunteers to help in all kinds of ways. We'll talk more about that going forward. And maybe you can't do all week. Maybe you can just do a day. Maybe you can't even do a day. Maybe you can just bring cookies. Whatever you can do, we want to meet you at that place. We want to involve you in what God is doing in our Vacation Bible School. And so I just think we have traction in hundreds of families' lives in this city. They turn to us in time times when they know that their kids can be in a godly place. And we just think we're making a difference. And we're making a difference one child, one family at a time. Okay? I want to pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for every person here. God, thank you for how you are doing great, good, mighty things in our lives. Lord, we need more and more and more of you. And Lord, the children of this city, they need you, Jesus. They desperately need you. Lord, there are families that, Lord, they're just coming apart at the seams because they don't have you in them. And so, Lord, we just pray that these relationships we have with the kids in VBS, those become, again, a foothold, traction, where we begin to allow you to move, not just in an event called VBS, but in relationships, holy, sacred relationships, friendships that we have with those who are part of what we're doing in serving you and offering you to others. Jesus, thank you for this morning. It's not by chance that we're sitting in these places we're sitting in. God, you have a word to speak to us today, and we invite you to do so. In your name, Jesus, amen. This morning, I told you we're going to have the best sermon ever because I'm not preaching. Okay, so anyway, we have Jay Pathak is going to be our preacher this morning. He is a pastor of, Rocky Mountain. It's called Mountain High Vineyard Church in Denver. And guys, this message that he's going to bring, Matt and I are involved in a thing called Exponential. We're doing a training all year long with about 25 other pastors from our area. And so, we didn't get to go to this. This was the Exponential Conference in Orlando, but I got to see it and when it was being live streamed. And so this sermon, it's been a couple of months since I've seen it, but it's been my desire to share it with you. I've shared it with a few of our leaders, and I just think this is a word straight from the Lord to the folks at the conference, yes, but I think a word straight from the Lord to us. So y'all hear and receive God's word. And Darren, you may have to turn him up, but he doesn't scream as much as I do. All right.
And I am honored to be with you, to share with you. And really, I just want to share a bit of my story with you, because that's really all we have in the end, right? Is the life that we've gotten to live, the things that God has showed us. And I don't know, you might not be like me, but I think most people are like me in that most of the things I've grown in my life in have not come through like well-reasoned, educated moments. It's come through crisis, like things go wrong, and then you have to realize, wait a minute, I got to change something. Is there anybody like that? Okay, and then the rest of you were just too lazy to raise your hand. That's fine. It's totally fine. I get it. I'm just know how this really works. I was radically transformed and saved by Jesus. I was reading the scriptures in my room one night, and I had an encounter with God. I'd been raised in church. I didn't know anybody in church. The only thing I'd known about church is one time I went to a funeral, and when I was in like sixth grade, I remember it vividly because I remember asking my mom, why is there a naked man hanging on the wall? Some of you are like, what kind of church was that? It was, if you didn't think that all the way through, that was Jesus. Some of you are like, what? That's Jesus. It's strange to see people tortured in public. So that's how little I knew. I didn't know anything about Jesus. So I was radically transformed through this encounter. And out of that, of course, I ended up in a church. And so sort of the evangelistic fire in my heart was almost instant because I wanted my friends to know Jesus. And so I ended up in a growing church where kind of a job that I had was to throw like big parties and try to get people to come. You ever done one of these? Like we'll do a concert or something, we get people to come, and then, you know, you get all your friends to bring friends, and then you try to Jesus them. You know what I mean? You kind of trick them, and then you, Jesus. So that's what I did for a living. That's a job. And And I had just done one of these where we'd set it up where it was going to be like 2,000 people, and you know, we've done radio and all this stuff. And if you've ever run an event like this, you've had this moment where you do everything. Band's there, lights are right, we got like a whole light kit, a big band, we're set up for 2,000 people. And right before we're going to start, it occurs to me, I don't know if anybody's coming. So I just start calling all my friends desperately, like, please bring your friends, whatever it takes. I am going to be fired unless humans show up. It's a lot of money. And I think we were set up for a couple thousand, and we had somewhere in the neighborhood of like 108. Like, I don't know if you've been in a room set up for 2,000 with 100 people, and the band is playing as though there's 20,000 people. It's jarringly bad. And I left that room with my friends just trying to think out what my next job was going to be. And you know, have you ever known that you're in trouble at work, so you just try to avoid people the whole week at work? So I'd done that successfully. But because I was also an intern at this church, I had to do all the stuff nobody else wanted to do. So you end up having these pastoral meetings with like the worst possible scenarios. So I was doing that. I'd done a funeral for a child in the morning. And so I'm thinking I'm going to get fired. I'd just done a funeral. And I was exhausted by the work. And I remember it because that day it occurred to me as the day was finishing that I had to go home to do a Bible study at my apartment. I'm sure this isn't true for anyone else here, but I think out of all the years I've led a small group in my home, like it's decades now, I think I've looked forward to it exactly four times. Like, no more than four. Four, I rounded up to get to four. I mean, it's never, like never. But this day was especially bad because I'd had all these other things happening and I'm super stressed. I'm a failure at my job. I've had this horrible day. And I remember calling my wife and saying, babe, we got to cancel small group. We just can't do it. And she goes, Jay, it's tonight. Like, it's literally tonight, like in a few hours. You can't cancel small group with 3 hours notice. I said, you can. I'll show you how easy it is. It's very possible. But she's way more godly than me. So she said, listen, what if we just kind of split the middle? And what if we did a fellowship night while people bring food? We'll hang out. You ever use this trick? Some of you right now have only been to small groups, and you're like, yeah, I remember that happening that one time. That's what was happening. They didn't want to lead it. So I come home. I mean, come on. Are we allowed to tell secrets? Anyway, I come home, and as I pull up, some of you did this to come in here tonight. I pulled up to the house, and I was sitting in my car, like trying to do that thing where I'm like, you can do this. I know you're tired of the humans. You're just going to eat some food. It's going to be fine. So I'm trying to gear myself up. And as I'm walking up to my apartment after having a little session with myself, I notice that people are walking in and out of my apartment. The door is open, and I don't recognize them. And I'm like, this is weird. So I walk into my apartment, and it's full of people I've never seen before. And in between are some people I know. Well, this is strange. I look over, and there's some guy I've never seen playing my guitar. And I walked over, and I went, hey. He goes, hey. I go, that's my guitar. And he looks up, and he goes, oh, you must be Jay. And I went, yep. And that's my guitar. And here's what had happened. My wife, because again, she's a wonderful person, that, you know, because people were coming over, she'd pushed a grill outside, and she just casually, as people were coming in from work to come back to their apartment, just casually said, hey, we're going to have some friends over tonight. You should come and hang out. And all the folks in my apartment complex went, oh, okay. So they just just filled up our apartment and around. And here's what they said later as we got to know them. They said, you know, we watch people shuffle in and out of your house, your apartment, week after week, and we always wondered, I wonder what that's about. I wonder how I'd get invited to that, because they seem to be having a good time. Okay, if you didn't catch the irony, let me spell it all out for you. Just in case you didn't catch it. My job is to get people into rooms to do Jesus things. Right? That's my job. I'm bad at my job. My wife, on a whim, says, you can come hang out. Way more successful. Super low dollar amount. Now, that night changed my life and changed my wife's life. Because it occurred to me that I didn't even know the humans that surrounded me. I couldn't pick them out of a lineup. And I don't know if you've had this moment where something happens, you have a crisis, and you go back to read the Bible, and all of a sudden you realize, this has been in the Bible the whole time. Like everywhere. And you didn't see it somehow. Have you ever had this experience? So all of a sudden, it's like just in the Bible everywhere, and I'm going, wait a minute, I've made a huge mistake. I get in my car to drive and do ministry, and Jesus had said something about the people that live right near me. Now, this happens all through the Bible, so I'm just going to give you one little example. It's in Luke chapter 10. It's a passage that you know very well. Many of you have heard it many times. It's actually pretty known in common culture as well, so I'm just going to tell it to you. And the reason I want to tell it to you and not have you read it is so that you don't get used to the sort of the rhythm of the text, right? Like, Bible that you know, you already kind of predict what's going to happen, so just stay with me as though I'm telling you a story you've not heard before, even though you've heard it. Does that make sense? It's commonly called the story of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan. You heard this before? Let's do it very quickly. Jesus is doing all this stuff, and a teacher of the law comes up to him and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, I don't know, you're a lawyer. Why don't you answer it? You're smart. This is what you do for a living. What's the answer? He says, oh, well, I mean, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your as yourself. Jesus says, good answer. Do that, and you'll live. Full stop, awkward stare. Lawyer looks at him and says, well, and here's the key. He wanted to justify himself, so he said, and who is my neighbor? He does a lawyer trick. Anybody, you know any lawyers? I wanted to be a lawyer. I was studying philosophy to do law. Lawyers are good with words, and they look for loopholes. That's kind of what they do. They create loopholes, or they look for loopholes. Some of you are lawyers, and you're offended. Sorry. It's true. So he says, what? He says, neighbor. Who is my neighbor? What's a neighbor? Neighbor. Even as I keep saying it, you're like, that is a weird word. Neighbor. It sounds weird. Neighbor. Neighbor. What's a neighbor? Neighbor. He's seeking to justify himself, right? Now, Jesus then tells the story. There's a man beat up on the side of the road. Three people pass by. The people that should know better, they're good religious types who are supposedly living their lives to serve other people. They pass him right by. They go on the other side. And then along comes the bad guy and takes care of him. Puts him on his donkey, takes him to the equivalent of a hospital, pays for everything. And then he turns back to the lawyer and says, so who was the neighbor to the man? And he says, he can't even say the word Samaritan. He says, I suppose the one that took care of him. And then Jesus says, well, then go and do likewise. Jesus takes a definition of a neighbor and expands it to include an enemy. He says, okay, You're asking me what's a neighbor. Okay, anyone that you come across who's in need is your neighbor. Even if it's an enemy, you're to take care of them. And in this way, you fulfill the law and the prophets. Jesus says another place, all the law and the prophets are summed up in this. To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he says. So all the law and the prophets, I don't know if you looked at the Bible recently, it's a big chunk. Then he takes that and he expands it to be an enemy. Now here's what I'd like to suggest to you today. I'd like to suggest to you that Jesus takes us to graduate level neighboring by an enemy, because it's easy to say, okay, I haven't come across a wounded terrorist lately. But if I did, I would be great at that. I would be the guy. I'd be the girl. It'd be great. I would like to suggest that we should not be in graduate school. We need to start in kindergarten. And maybe we should consider our actual neighbors, like the people that surround. I have one slide. Can I have my one slide? There it is. I'm setting a record. This is a pop quiz. Who doesn't love a pop quiz? You don't love a pop quiz. That's who. Okay, here's what I want you to do. You can all do this. You can do this in your mind. You do it on your phone. You do it however you want, okay? That's like a GPS map, like a Google map. Your house is in the middle. Okay? I want you to write the names of the homes that surround you. People live there. Go ahead and start. You can write it. You have a pen. You have a pen. Just go ahead. Do it right there on your paper. You do too. You can draw all that. Yep. There you go. Okay, you just start writing the names of people. And I just want to make sure, as you're doing that, real quick, don't consult. Right now you're consulting. Don't consult. Here's the thing. You can't say cat lady. That's not her name. It's not her name. Her actual name. Okay? Some of you are doing that. In the middle of the box, you can just write, like, things you know about him, like likes to play golf, is from Idaho, is a lawyer. Things you would learn talking to them. You can't say, drives a red car. Cheating. As we some of you talk to him. And then in the bottom, and you can do this as you leave, you can write, like, what do you think makes them tick? Like, what do they hope for? What do they fear? Maybe even what's their spiritual condition? In those layers, from name to things about them to kind of what motivates them, you're moving from a stranger to an acquaintance to a real relationship. So there's your pop quiz. 8 boxes. Now, let's remember the lawyer. He wanted to justify himself. Right now, some of you are going, Jay, I would love to do this, but there's like there's a park behind my home, so, you know. The map doesn't work. Don't be a legalist. The 8 closest. Some of you are like, I'm in an apartment. I don't know. There's only 2. What can I do? I just moved there. What, you know, I don't know. Don't do any of that. 8. Okay, now how many of you, just quick poll, how many of you can name all the names of the 8 neighbors that surround your home? All 8 of everyone that's there, raise your hand really high. All 8 really high. Okay, I'm going to call on you. Do you see how my hands went back down? Did you see that? Did anybody see that? I saw it. I can see it from here. You're like, oh, whoa, whoa. I mean, I'm... Okay, real high, real high. How many? Okay, now, right now, in our church, this has been affectionately called the chart of shame. Because it creates shame. So let us review. Can we review briefly? Lawyer says, eternal life, how do I do that? Says, well, what do you think? Love God, love your neighbors yourself. But who's my neighbor? Neighbor, neighbor, neighbor. Jesus says, well, your enemy's your neighbor. And I'm saying, wow, that's really hard. Let's start at kindergarten. And then when we're in kindergarten, I'm saying let's use crayons in kindergarten, because I'm asking not for you to even love them. This is a deep theological thought. To love someone, you might need to know and retain their name. See, here at Exponential, you're going to hear great talks. People are going to raise the bar for leadership. Like, oh, cultural awareness. John Mark Comer, he's my friend. He's like, oh, understand the culture, how it's moving, blah, blah, blah. Raising the bar. Raising the bar. Get smarter. Try harder. Know things. It's important. Jay's here to lower the bar. I am lowering the bar so low that you can't get under it, okay? Like, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm saying, can you know and retain someone's name? Because that's the starting point to a relationship that makes a difference. You guys are all here because you're committed. Like, you flew here. You're in this room. You're doing all this stuff. I'm asking you to do something super basic, and it's possible that Jesus is a genius. It's possible that he gave us a way that would transform the entire world. Can you imagine how your city would be different if every believer knew and retained the names of their neighbors, prayed for them, connected to them, served them, and cared for them? That's an exponent. It's an exponent. Exponential impact. Each time, 8 more are impacted. Listen, before we go do all the other things, I think we should start here. A number of years ago, then when we moved to plant the church, we had this in mind, and we got to know the names of our neighbors. We prayed for them continually, and we didn't, you know, we had one neighbor that wouldn't talk to us. They didn't like us. They would kind of hide and stuff. But we knew their names, and we would pray for them. We had this chart on our fridge, and we'd pray all the time for them. One day, my wife wakes up, and she says, I felt like God spoke to me about our neighbors across the street. I had the weirdest dream, and in the dream, she came up to me in the street and looked at me and said, I have a pain in my body that I haven't told anyone about, and I need your help. And I said, that's pretty specific. But they don't want to talk to us. She said, well, next time we see him, we're going to ask. I go, okay, sure, that's going to go great. And literally that day, we're walking outside, and we see her getting in her car, and she goes, right now. I'm like, oh, I don't think she wants to. And this feels weird, you know. So we walk across, and she said, I had this dream about you. And she just blurts it out, and this woman just shouts out. She says, I've had a cancer diagnosis. I've not told anyone. I don't know what to do. I'm afraid to tell my kids. And my wife says, well, Jay and I pray for healing. That's what we do. We're going to pray for you right now. It's like, oh, man, this is a lot. So we, right? Wouldn't you feel that way? Just right there in the driveway. So we put our hands on her. You know, there's prayers you pray that it feels like something's happening. And there's prayers you pray that it feels like nothing's happening. This was that kind, nothing. And you're like, you know, she hadn't been coached in the praying thing, so she didn't close her eyes. She's just like staring at us. Right? Because she's not a church person. She doesn't know the rules. So I'm always like, can you close your eyes? So anyway, we pray. And she's like, great, thanks. She just gets in her car, and I was like, that was the worst. A week later, she went and got a scan. She comes up to our house, knocks on the door, busts open the door and says, the cancer is completely gone. And she, just like this, she says, how do I start to follow Jesus? So now we invite them in. Well, we invite them in, and then both her boys come to Christ. Now, her boys come to Christ, and they're with us, but that's over about 3 years. Then the husband walks over and says, I don't know what you've been doing. You've done the same with my wife, done the same with my boys. I just want to be crystal clear. I'm not doing it. I've been around Christians. I don't like you guys. You seem okay. It seems to be helping my family, but I'm out. I said, that's totally fine. He came to watch his third son get baptized. This is 6 years later. And I did an illustration with Cortez, you know, where it's a genocide illustration, so I wouldn't use it, but it works for preaching. I didn't think about that till later, just confession. Where they get there and they don't want to fight, so he burns the boats. You hear that? He burns the boats in the bay, and so then they fight. So it doesn't work. But anyway, so I said, baptism is burning the boats. You cut everything and you say, I'm following Jesus. And this guy's there to watch his son get baptized. And I go to sit down, and we're baptizing people. He walks over to me and he says, Jay, I think I want to get baptized. And I went, just like this, I go, what? I'd had 6 years of him just being mean, right? And I go, what? He goes, I want to get baptized. I go, why? Wait. You know, the music sprang. You know, you can't tell if you're hearing. And then just like this, tears come down his face. He goes, it's time to burn the boats, man. Okay, listen. I could tell you as many bad stories as that, awkward ones that didn't work. But here's what I want to say, and this is how I finish. I don't think that we're going to bring the exponential impact into the world unless we obey the simplest things Jesus commands us to do. Though your neighbor is in Africa who's in pain and somewhere around the world and you should care about everything you care about, can you at least start with your neighborhood? Can you start where you are so that, because if we don't, if we turn our neighbor into a metaphor, the metaphoric gospel will change our metaphoric cities. When you have real neighbors that need a life with Jesus Christ, and you have been placed there to love them and serve them and know them and pray for them. Love your neighbors. God bless you. Thank you.
This morning, we're not having an altar call. We're having a neighbor call, a call to this world. And you're going to get your little homework sheets. The ushers, y'all can start passing those out. And y'all, Lubbock, Texas is going to be changed, transformed, not because of me talking up there, but because of you going out there. Because of you going and just being a neighbor who knows names, who knows needs, and who loves people. Lord, this morning, I just ask and I pray that we will not just hear the word that Jay proclaimed, that we will be doers of the word, livers, those who live out this love your neighbor as we love ourselves. Jesus, show us how to be a neighbor. Show us how to love our neighbors even as you have loved us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to make sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe.
Love those around me. It may really be that simple. We wonder how our world has gotten where it's gotten, and maybe it's gotten there because we've been waiting for the people to come to the church rather than the church going to the people. Y'all, this is, so I was just thinking, I can do the whole like, well, you know, my name, well, I do know the weatherman, he lives down at the end of the street. Y'all may know him, John Robertson, all right? And then the lady next to him, her husband has just died. And then the couple right next to them, they're kin to the pastor out at the high, you know, I mean, I know stuff, but I couldn't have passed this. And I want to pass it. So it's name, right? It's needs, and it's names, and it's just stuff about them that you know, and then it's talking about, you know, what makes them tick. In other words, you're moving from a stranger to an acquaintance to a friend. But it starts by knowing their name. And so I hope we do this. I hope these get up on our refrigerator doors. I hope we start praying for our neighbors. For the next 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about how we can be who God has called us to be. And I'm going to be talking to some folks. Baron Carol Mill is going to be interviewing them and doing some things like that over the next 6 weeks. So, Lord Jesus, doggone it, do something. Lord, we understand that this world in which we live in desperately needs you. And Lord, we've been burdened by it, but what are we supposed to do, Lord? And I think this morning, you've clearly told each and every one of us how we start the journey. You've told us what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to learn our neighbors' names. Lord, help us. Even that takes courage. Even that takes the power of your Holy Spirit moving and working in us. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for being in this holy house. This is sacred ground. But thank you, Lord Jesus, that you go forth and that your Spirit is with us. Not just as we gather here, Lord, but as we scatter, as we are sent out into the mission fields of our daily lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Love y'all. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.